interviewing Sean Craig Murphy, and he's a radio announcer on commercial radio with plus 30 years in the business. So hello, Sean, and welcome to PBAFM Community Radio.
It's great to chat to you, Carmella. Really nice to speak to you again.
And yes, we've got a little bit of hot weather at the moment, haven't we? So it's lucky that we're indoors, I think.
Yeah, it's funny, though. It feels like, maybe because we're not used to it, it feels like there's hot weather, but it feels like in the last 2 or 3 years, I don't know if you think this as well, but it feels like it's been cooler summers. We just occasionally have a little hot day, but we don't have those heat waves that we used to, do we?
No, they don't seem to be as long. Usually, you know, you might get a couple of weeks of it in a row, just about, you know, wrenched out like a rag, a doll. And, it takes a little while to get over it a bit more. But it's the humidity I've noticed that has risen. So that seems to knock me around anyway.
Maybe we're just getting old, hey?
Oh, I think so. I didn't want to say that, but, yeah, maybe that's the point, yeah. Okay, this is probably a broad question. How did you get your break in radio? Was it difficult to get noticed? And did you have to come up with a brand that was just you?
It's a really good question. So I used to work at a roller skating rink, DJ there about 40 years ago, a place in Adelaide called Downtown.
Oh.
And, I don't know if you remember that, but... it was a great old time. I really enjoyed it, and I wanted to know how I could actually use my voice and sort of make a living out of it, and found out about radio announcing. Long story short, I did a part of a radio course. A job came up in Murray Bridge. A mate of mine who I shared a house with at that stage wanted to get into radio. He said, "Do you want to come along for the drive?" He just wanted me to keep him company. They ended up hiring us both and sacking him 3 months later.
That's pretty good, isn't it? And I was just wondering, if you being obviously the owner of Australian Radio School, if there was this media around when you were trying to get in to radio, do you think it would have made it a lot easier for you or harder?
Yeah, but you know, the funny thing is there was a radio school around. I can't remember who ran it, but I know that there's been some radio schools around over the last 30, 40 years, one run by a guy by the name of Vaughan Harvey. I reckon that might have been the school that I went to. And David Day, Daisy, who's kind of a legend in Adelaide radio, he ran a school as well. Look, I think it's just changed. There's a lot of different feels about radio these days. You know, when I first started in radio, the only way you could create content was essentially by being on radio. These days, there are so many different platforms. So if you want to be creative and you want to create content, you can do YouTube videos, social media.
Yeah.
You can do podcasts.
Yeah.
So it's just changed. I think it's just about adapting. And if you know, what was right then is, you know, obviously not applicable now.
Yeah, it just keeps changing. So I guess. Growing up for me, I mean, I always liked radio, always loved listening to it, even as a young child, but never really knew anything about community radio until you pointed me into the direction after doing some courses with you. So we had a few recruits that have joined with Australian Radio School with their experience getting through the courses with you. But what would you give new recruits? What advice would you give them if they were coming in for a long-term future overall in radio?
Oh, I think PBA is amazing. I mean, there's quite a few people who've done radio school who just get the bug. You know what it's like, Mella. You get the bug, and you just want to get on air, and the thrill of doing that live performance. So I'm really proud of a lot of people who have sort of gone in and out, and some are still at PBA. I mean, Phil and Tish, who do Rock Hard. Is Rock Hard or Hard Rock? No, it's Rock Hard.
No, Rock Hard, yes.
Rock Hard. They absolutely love the joint. They love the place, and it's just perfect for them. And I'm so proud of them, and I really, really love what they're doing. I think to have that ability to create a show and to have a vehicle like community radio, where you've got great support from people around you, a vehicle where you can actually practice your skills and get better and better at communicating and build an audience, I think those skills are just incredibly invaluable. And, Yeah, I have no hesitation in talking about how great PBA is and how great the people there are, and some really great success stories.
Yeah, and I guess too, I mean, a few in the group that I was in, they have gone on to do a lot of radio. Liam was one of them, of course.
Liam from memory has started off PBA, didn't he?
He did. He came through what they called a Jibber Jabber group because he was young.
That's
he
right.
was a young youth group, and that was run through the councils. So he came through that. And I actually did interview him before he made it big on radio. And I said, look, I said, don't forget me when you make it big. And he laughed. He said, that's never going to happen. And of course it did. And does he ring me? No.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, but anyway, it was he was a very amiable young man. And I'm hoping that they're doing well, the both of them. So.
Yeah, they are. And you know what? They're just as beautiful these days as they were then.
Good.
It's been because you were in the same class, so it's 2014.
Yes, that's right.
And 10 years down the track,
mm-hmm.
Ben and Liam still teach, still do a class each course in radio school. They're based in Melbourne these days.
Right.
So they do one of our Zoom sessions. They
Excellent.
Volunteer to do it, despite the fact that they're on an absolute squillion on Nova and, you know, they've made it big time. They volunteer to do a session three times a year, and the current radio school students just absolutely love it. And that just gives you a great indication of how beautiful those guys are.
They are definitely a great ambassador for youth, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, still going alongside your Australian radio school. I say it's yours because you have had it for quite some time now.
15 years.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Well, I mean, a lot of businesses don't last that long these days, but...
No, it's true.
Yeah. So besides being an announcer that people want to be, that's the first thing they want to do when they come to your course. That's all they've got on their brain is they want to announce. What other types of roles can future students aspire to? So is volunteering at community radio a great way to get a leg up in radio these days? Is that a positive thing?
Absolutely, unequivocally. It's just, to me, there's an old expression called getting K's on the clock. And getting K's on the clock, is kind of, I think it's related to cars and getting a
yes.
car sort of, you know, adapting to the road and adapting to the travel. So I think the same thing is with, you know, young announcers. I think it's fantastic to be able to find somewhere where you've got support and you've got a chance to get those K's on the clock and get experience. So 100% community radio is great. I reckon, I was talking to some people recently, and look, I might have been students late last year, about the fact that radio now compared to when I first started, which was, as you kindly put it, 30 plus years, it's actually 40 years now.
Oh, is 40 it? Years. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I know, but you know, the funny thing is the older you get, the less you actually want to sort of highlight the fact that it's been 40 years, because then people start doing the maths and going, almost 60.
That's right. Well, I've passed that.
but radio, you asked that question about what are the other opportunities with radio. And when I first started teaching and took over radio school about 15 years ago, there was essentially you being an announcer or maybe being a show producer or a copywriter, and there wasn't too much more than that.
Mm.
These days, the opportunities are just limitless. I mean, we have just as many people doing the intro to radio course that Australian Radio School runs. We have just as much of those people doing the course to be an announcer as they are to being podcasters.
Yes.
So there's a lot of passion, a lot of interest in podcasting. But also, I think these days, instead of just being an announcer, I mean, Camilla, you'd be doing it, and lots of other people would be doing it at PBA. You look at yourself as content creators.
Oh, yeah. We have to, because there's no one else is going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you're thinking, you know, you're doing stuff on many different platforms. You're doing it on social media, and it might be some podcasting and all those different things. And I reckon that's really exciting for people who, you know, want to get into that medium. I think you just don't have to hide behind a microphone anymore. You can get in front of the camera and you can be creating so much.
Yeah.
So many different things with content.
No, that's excellent. And you're right, as far as doing a show. My show, I try to stick to the same format every week unless I'm having an interview thrown in or I actually repeat some content from another program that has since finished. So I start off with a feature band. I go straight into AMRAP selections and then I have what I call a this and a that. So it could be anything. And I play that for an hour. So for 2 hours, that's my entire show and it pretty much runs the same every week with a different content.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds like commercial radio. I mean, you get the same canvas and the same time frame, but you put your personality into it, which sounds wonderful.
Yeah, well, yeah, sometimes it's good. Yeah, it depends on the day. Sometimes it's on the day. You know, like, I don't know, I think, right, who am I going to feature? Which band? And I go back and I check the last few years because I keep a spreadsheet just to make sure.
And, oh, good work.
Yeah, I keep a spreadsheet of what's been going on. And I'm thinking, oh, I've got nothing. I've got no music. And I must have 50,000 songs in my playlist. And I'm thinking, oh, surely I can find a band I can play. So I have to be creative sometimes in that I might do a current band. They might not have as many albums to source from, you know, and that sort of stuff. So that can be a bit difficult.
So what's your favourite music at the moment? What's your favourite music overall? Are you kind of a fan of all different decades?
I like a lot of different music, but I'm a real fan of heavy rock, metal, a bit like what Phil and Tish get up to. We probably would play a lot of the same music. But then again, I would drop back and I'll play a lot of the Australian stuff, which sometimes is a more garage style. I like punk rock. You know, it's strange. Oh, I find it strange thinking of myself at 60 liking punk rock, but yeah, I do.
I love that. as well as I know you, Camilla, I would have never picked that. And maybe we talked about that 10 years ago. But
we did.
I know, but isn't that funny? I'm thinking to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really surprising. But that's the great thing about music. I mean, sometimes you look at someone and you would never pick the kind of music that they would love just by looking at them and talking to them. And That's right.
And I used to do a Saturday morning breakfast with Scotty. We bounced off each other. We must have done it for nearly 3 years together. And he was great source because he had one of these photographic memories, you see. So whatever he was playing that, he would remember that he played that 3 weeks ago and he's not playing it again this week. So all that sort of stuff. But his variety of music broaden my horizons even further. So it opened the doors to, you know, the hoodoo gurus, which I didn't really follow. And all of a sudden they're not bad. I like them. So, yeah, so that was good. Doing a breakfast show was actually fun with one other person at least. So it was good to bounce off another person. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the great thing about, you know, being on radio and doing that. So I prefer doing the solo stuff because I get control over it and I don't have to sort of be at the beck and call of someone else.
Yes.
But also, the same as you, I also love bouncing off people as well. I mean, that sort of throws in this unpredictability that you've got to kind of cater for and
that's right.
Be ready for.
Yeah, and they might laugh when they didn't expect to laugh, and so it comes out really jovial over the mic, although that can be a bit sort of distorting, but anyway. All right, so back to your career.
Yeah.
The people that have been influential and also become lifelong friends, it can be difficult to acquire those people, I think, in the media business, but you have at least probably a handful that you would rely on?
Yeah, look, my best friend is a guy by the name of Craig Bruce.
Yes.
And, yeah, Craig's a great mate of mine, and we have been friends for years and years. We both met when we sort of started our first Capital City radio station, which was a station in Melbourne called Eon FM.
Yeah.
And then we've been, we've all gone on to different paths and gone to different radio stations in different states, but we've ended up both living in the same state. We've been, you know, great mates for the last 20 years. Craig does an incredible podcast, which is called Radio Game Changers, which is a really interesting, fascinating podcast all about radio. So
I have listened to that.
Oh, good. Yes, good. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's a wonderful podcast, and Craig's a really smart person. I'm very grateful to have him in my life, and these days, I don't know about you, Camilla, but I kind of have a very small circle of friends. A couple of other people who help run the radio school. I'm really friendly with Benny Shannon, such a great mate of mine who does some radio school stuff, and he works at Triple M. But yeah, these days I keep it. I think there's an old saying that a handful of friends is all you can handle, or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing that.
I have to agree. But, yeah. I got told that. Yeah, you know, look at your hand, take away the thumb, and if that's four, if you've got four good friends you can rely on, then for the rest, like as you get older and take through life, well, then you're a rich man, I think, or a rich woman.
Well, you said that way better than I did. And that makes much more sense. But I think we're both on the same path. I've got my partner, couple of friends, and that's enough. That's all I need. Yeah,
because I think, like, you know, it's unlike when you're at school. You know, everybody wants to be friends with everybody, and it's very, and as you know, there's probably when you're going through school, that can end up in disastrous situations. So yeah, I think I appreciate that a lot more. I'm in the same bracket as you. There's no doubt about that.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. With Craig, speaking of Craig, Bruce, I was lucky enough to hear him speak at the 2014 in the, I think it was in the masterclass. No, it was the masterclass. It was the intro. He came in and did a talk, which was fantastic. But he's also partner in the disco, Greed.
Yeah, so we...
I can imagine that was fun.
Craig and I still catch up once a week and grab a bite, but we often talk about those Greed days. So for those who don't know, Greed was a night, an 80s retro night that we did at the Planet Nightclub in the late 90s into the early noughties. And Craig came up with the name Greed, and then with myself, another guy by the name of Paul, we sat around and we created this entire format, entire theme for a big night at Planet Nightclub. And it was Planet Nightclub. I don't know if anyone remembers it, but it was massive. It held about 2,500 people, and it would be jam packed every Friday night for about 5 or 6 years. It was our fleeting moment of thinking to ourselves, we rock stars.
Yes,
which we clearly weren't. But for those moments, those were pretty heady times. And you know, having all those people just come along for the night and what it represented was pretty cool.
No, that's wonderful. I unfortunately, being from the country, I didn't get to Adelaide until I was 30, so I missed all of that. That 90s, I came early 90s, and I wasn't really into disco at that, you know, it was there, but it wasn't interesting me.
Well, judging by your music taste, I don't know if there would have been too much that would have catered for you. Brie was very, very poppy, it was Wham, Kylie, you know, Buck Aitken, Waterman, those sort of artists there.
But there's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't really matter. Music is just so great for everybody, I think. It's just a chance to let your hair down and have some fun.
That's a very good point. I think it was that. It was a lot of people's guilty pleasure, so that probably sums it up.
Excellent. How would you describe your style of interviewing?
My style of interviewing? Good question.
I like
to think that one of the things I guess I've learned in the radio school is to really listen to what people are saying and to pause and take some time and respond. And it sounds really obvious, but respond to what they're saying as opposed to thinking of what your next question is. So really, and you've done that brilliantly today. genuinely, it's one of those things where the more you listen to what they're saying, the more you're going to get out of it, and the less you're going to have of those missed opportunities. Because sometimes you can be so focused on what someone is about to say that you don't actually hear the last 10 seconds of it and you miss those opportunities. So I think I'm a really good facilitator. I think one of the things that we teach in radio school is we talk about the fact that if you're going to interview someone, think really deeply and ask them a question that you really want to know the answer to.
Mm.
So instead of asking questions that you kind of know are sort of the run of the mill questions, it's just digging a little deeper and going, okay, if someone was asking me a question about, it might be about what I do when I turn the microphone on. Do I know exactly what I'm going to say when I turn the microphone on? I would think to myself, you know, that's something that a lot of people don't think about. They would just assume that you turn the microphone on and you speak. But yeah, it's just digging deep and asking a question that, you know, perhaps it's just got this great opportunity. Feel brave and ask that question. I know you're gonna dig deep, aren't you?
Oh well, no, because I thought, well, I was going to ask the questions that I wanted to know the answers to.
Oh, you've done brilliantly.
And I didn't want to. I read that article and I thought, this is such a brilliant article, but I can't use these questions now because it wouldn't be fair. So I thought, come on, I've got to think a bit harder. So that's why I've asked some of the ones that I have.
You've asked questions that no one else has asked.
That's what I wanted to do.
you've done that beautifully, Carol.
Oh, good. Thank you. Oh, now, look, all these pats on the back, it's not good for me. all right. So I thought that we might finish up with, because we're getting close to time, I don't want to keep you too much longer.
Sure.
But I thought I might give you some four pop sort of quiz type of questions.
Oh God!
I've learnt this from one of the young announcers on Saturday with the Rhythm Club. That's called,
okay.
And he does this style of questioning at the end. So I was going to say, what's your favourite colour and why?
Oh, there's so many. I'd say purple.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had this, and don't judge me for this, but I had this incredible pair of glasses that's
yes.
my daughter's favourite, and they had a sort of a slight purple frame, and so I love that colour purple for no other reason than it was my daughter's favourite pair of glasses that she always talks about and wishes that I still had.
Oh, yeah, and they were good glasses too. I can remember them. I've seen you wearing them, yeah. All right. If you were to eat one type of food every day, what would it be?
Wow.
That, you know, like you can't go without, you have to have every day.
Thai noodles, those flat Thai noodles.
Yeah. I know the ones.
You know, I can't, it's not pad thai, it's another. It's something similar to that, but I reckon so much so, isn't it? But that's the thing, having them every day, I don't know if I can handle having them every day. But anyway, good question. Good question. average answer from me.
All right. And what is your favourite song? One that you would play over and over? It doesn't have to be every day.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was only remembering this yesterday. So I went and saw a movie, Pet Shop Boys.
Oh.
They had a live concert that was filmed when they were at Copenhagen, mm-hmm. and I'd never seen them live, so I went along and saw this movie, and all the way through the movie I was saying to my partner, I was saying, I hope they're going to play Being Boring, which is a song by the Pet Shop Boys. And the reason I wanted that song is when I got married the second time around, I had to pick a song that I was going to walk out to, and I had to pick, you know, me being kind of a little left of centre, I wanted to pick something creative out. So I picked out this song called Being Boring, which is not what, it's actually, We Were Never Being Boring is the lyrics of the song. So, and I really resonated with it because I thought, you know what, if I can say one thing about my life is that, you know, I've always had fun, I've always had some challenges, been a roller coaster ride, but you know, it's never about being boring. So I love that song, and they played it, and they played that song. It's the very last song in the movie. So yeah, and I was extremely happy. I can't imagine though, Carmela, it's a song that you've heard before.
No, but I know of the Pet Shop Boys, so you know what I will do. I will probably to put this interview to air once I do a little bit of editing, which is mostly me. I will find that song and I'll play it in the interview.
you're a legend. I want to share that song with everyone because it's just got this. It's incredibly emotive, the music and the lyrics are great, and I reckon. Everyone will relate to it because I think most people in their life, they want to have a fun, fulfilled life. They never want to be bored.
Yeah, you're right. And, but yeah, it's always, there's always an opportunity to do something that makes you happy. And if it makes you happy, then I don't think you can be boring, can you? That's how I think anyway. But
no, absolutely.
Yeah. So just for instance, last Friday I went out with my two girlfriends. Now, one, she's had a stroke. And the other one has had a brain injury and aneurysms renewed. So we were having lunch, having a great time, talking about all sorts of things, life things, all that sort of stuff. And I thought to myself, how fortunate am I that I've still got them here in my life? Because if I didn't have them here, then I would be missing out on so much because they are probably the two closest friends I have here in Adelaide.
Yeah. That's fine. Don't you find that the older you get, that the more important that is? That's just
yes.
That you really, I don't know. You really reflect and think about how much a friendship is so important.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, have to agree totally with you there. I have another question.
Yeah,
that's part of the pop quiz questions. What motto do you live by? I think we've already talked about it, but yeah.
Well, what motto do I live by? I need to get one, don't I?
I think that'd be good for you for Australian Radio School.
Yeah, I you know what? I reckon it's one word, and it's not necessarily a motto,
mm-hmm.
but I'd like to think it's why I've still been able to keep a job in commercial radio, and I think it all comes down to one thing. And mm-hmm. if I had to choose between two words, it'd be creative or passionate. I reckon be passionate.
Lovely.
Mm. Yeah, whatever you do in life, and I say this to all the radio school students, the difference between you being successful and not being successful is not necessarily down to talent, it's down to passion, because that passion, people can feel it and they feed off it and they see that as a really positive light. So I need to remind myself occasionally, but I think it's really important to be passionate about whatever you do in life, and that passion, people will pick up on it, and it's such a positive energy.
Oh, lovely. Excellent. And, yes, I'll have to agree. Yeah, it's contagious, isn't it?
So, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And you really – and I it's purely my energy source. You know, the fact that I probably teach about 100 to 150 students a year. Mm-hmm. Most of them are the same age or slightly older than my daughter. So, they're 20, 30, 40 years younger than me. And they're my energy source. The passionate ones, the ones who aren't cynical, the ones who are fresh and energetic. I absolutely feed off their passion and their energy.
Oh, that is wonderful. And I have to agree, I've been doing, I'm not in the recent 6 months, but I have been doing the training here for new people coming because they need to do the course, and I find that I'm more excited about that sometimes than doing my show, because I want to find out what they want to do, what their aspirations are, and teach them what obviously the rules and regulations of the station, but also how to do a test file, how to put it all together, how to record all that sort of stuff, put it all together, and then start somewhere in the station. So yeah, I think we call it training, but I think, teaching anyone anything, I gets very rewarding. And I think that's why you enjoy Australian Radio School, because you can pass on your knowledge.
Yeah, we're no different at all. I mean, it's exactly the same thing, Camilla. We're just, you know, we get that energy and we get the joy of seeing someone who you know, is able to open up and learn stuff and then be successful. And we both sit back and we're both in exactly the same spot.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, no, that's I have to agree with your passion for radio. You've been there, as you reminded me, longer than 30 years, 40.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't be giving away that sort of intel now. I should be hiding and pretending. But 40 years is a nice milestone. So
It is. PBA's just turned 40. So
no.
we're into the, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, if all things go well, we're into the next era. But I need to say, because I know I'm running close now, thank you, Sean, for taking the time to chat with me. I appreciate your valuable time and hope you are enjoying being back at SAFM. Are you still there?
I'm still there, yeah, and I've been back at SAFM for 3 years, and I'm absolutely honoured that you asked me to have a chat to you, Camilla. I have very fond memories, and I love the success of you personally, but I love the success, especially the success of the station. I'm a big advocate for PBA, and I love what the connections they've made with students who are there now and who've been through there. I think it's just a quality outfit, so very proud and very happy to be part of it.
Oh, and thank you. And look, if you want to send any more this way, if there is any more out in the northern suburbs that want to come in, because time-wise for driving and stuff, it's always been good to be close. We are always taking on new people.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I reckon I might have a couple for you in the next few weeks. I'd love to keep in contact, and I'd love to.
All right.
Yeah, I'd love that, and I really appreciate that. So
okay.
Thank you.
No worries.